Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSHD Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSHD Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of people affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSHD Society Radio. Welcome, one and all, to the FSHD Society Radio Show. We are live here on Facebook on another Wednesday night as we have some great guests in store for you. We're planning on having a fun conversation, so hang tight here. In a couple minutes, we're going to introduce them. But a little bit about how to get in contact with the show. You can do that very simply. You can email me, fshdradio@fshdsociety.org is the email address. You can also use the Facebook page there if you're watching on Facebook, watching and listening. You probably are if you're hearing me right now. So go ahead and use that chat room. You can send any questions that way, any comments to the show, or send little messages to each other. It's always fun. I love watching the interaction. The show is about you. This is the community show, right? This isn't mine. This is all of ours. So thank you for being here and being a part of it. If you are looking for past shows, past guests, they are all available on the Facebook page for the FSHD Society. They're also available anywhere you find podcasts. So if that's Spotify or Google, I think there's like three others that we've been added to, like Podcast Addict. So feel free to download those apps, search FSHD Society Radio Show, and you'll find all the past episodes. I think we're on to like episode 44 now. So quite a few out there from the Wayback Machine, episode one, I think, with Jun Kinoshita, all the way to here. So happy listening when you find us on those sites. So thank you for being here, and thank you for listening to past episodes as well. Last week, we had a great pair of guests as well, Dr. Wagner and Dr. Lee Young, that were from the Kennedy Krueger Institute, and talking about also the book, which I think I tucked away. Doggone it. Here it is. I'm on it. It's the 100 Questions and Answers About Muscular Dystrophy. That's who we had on last week, so I hope you picked up your copy. I picked up mine on Amazon, so still plugging that book. It's an amazing book, amazing book. We welcome in Victoria and Robert. Welcome, guys, on Facebook Live. They're here each week. Thanks for being here again. So I really don't want to spend too much more time chatting all by myself. I would really like to bring in our next guest because I spent a lot of time over the last couple of weeks watching a lot of their videos that they put out on YouTube. They are a lot of fun to watch. They are cute as heck and nice people. And we brought them in today. You might know them only as Jenny and Tony on YouTube, but they're Jenny and Tony Teal. And we welcome them in the show now. Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Hey, Tim. How are you?
Hey, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing well. So, number one, thanks for spending some time with us. I know you are probably busy, you know, three kids, maintaining this very popular YouTube channel that you've started. I don't want to go too far down the road on the channel yet because we got two people that met each other at some point, but you each were independent lives, right? Separate from each other for a little while in the beginning, and then you found each other. So I kind of want to maybe put one piece together at a time. So why don't we start?
Sure.
Why don't we start with Tony? Tony, talk to us a little bit about yourself. And I know you have FSHD, maybe a little bit about, you know, your diagnosis or FSHD story, as I like to tag it.
Okay. I'm trying to pick like a starting point. it's one of those questions of whether or not I'm going to go too back in the time machine.
Right.
But I will just say that I was diagnosed when I was 31. It was a little bit later in the game. I had a lot of symptoms leading up to that. And, you know, just the progression of it all had led me to seek actual help outside of that because my symptoms had just gotten worse and worse. So I had seen my general practitioner who diagnosed me with global muscular atrophy initially and had sent me to the MDA clinic. Now, this was all while I was living in Indiana, and the MDA clinic that I went to was in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And it was there that I got my initial diagnosis of FSHD.
Okay.
And yeah, so, you know, they had set me up with a team of a specialist, you know, neurologist, orthopedic specialist, wheelchair specialist. And, you know, that's kind of what got the ball rolling for me, as far as finally knowing what was going on with me, and kind of how to approach life and what to expect from this disability and everything. And now, mind you, you know, I still had like a level of functionality back then. You know, I was still, you know, able to walk a short distance and everything. Wasn't wheelchair bound then.
It had a way of progressing.
Well, that's, yeah. And that is common. I think the only thing I found that was uncommon there with that little story was that, that you were diagnosed something different. You said global, what was that one? What was the diagnosis?
Global muscular atrophy.
Global muscular atrophy. See, that's a new one. So yeah. I've not heard of that. But I have heard the misdiagnosis or the, especially in very young people, oh, it's just growing pains or those kinds of things. Almost passe, pass off. Did you feel like you had then a doom and gloom type diagnosis at that point? You know, no treatment, no cure kind of speech? Or did you feel like, okay, this is something I can tackle?
To be honest with you, yeah. I mean, like when I had initially gotten the diagnosis, I felt more relief than anything. Because, you know, this was back when, you know, there wasn't much information on it at all. And I had kind of done a lot of, I'll try to do a lot of recon on the internet. And this was back when the internet was just a baby. there wasn't a lot of accurate information, aside from being, having, you know, very much information at all. So I kind of had it in my head that it was going to be this or this or this, and praying that it wasn't muscular dystrophy. And cause that seemed to be the worst of it all, out of all the things that I thought was wrong with me. But after having seen and spoken with the specialist, it did kind of bring about a certain calm. And I didn't go through like the doom and gloom until like much later on. You know, when symptoms started to progress and everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So yeah.
Yeah, I think. Once again, I mean, when I have people that have FSHD come on, I love to hear their FSHD stories, as I kind of tag it, because there's some common threads in there. There's definitely some not so common parts. And some do get like that doom and gloom. Hey, you know what? You got this. The doctor says there's no treatment, no cure, but it moves really slow, you know, and it's not life threatening. It's life shortening. And when my doctor said that, I said, well, I'm not sure what the difference is there. And I said, so none of that sounds great to me. So I'm going to move on go cry in my car for a minute and then figure out what I'm going to do next. So, yeah. It's like, so the fact that you could share that with us, I appreciate that for sure. I know for some it's kind of a difficult path to kind of, you're right, find that starting point. You know, put like a pin in it and go, okay, let me get you now to here current time. So now I wanted to ask now a little bit about Jenny. Tell us a little about yourself, maybe where are you from and a little bit of your background.
Sure. I live in, or I was from Metairie in Louisiana. And I was coming from a place of being a single mother and I had two children. So I was one of those people who was lonely and I was looking for a friend and I just wanted to kind of have a pen pal, but I just didn't really want to date again because that was really scary to me and I had the kids to think about and I don't know. I just was not in a place where I could think about getting in a relationship.
Right.
So honestly, I just wanted somebody to talk to that would be kind of a neutral party and just be my BFF and listen to all my concerns. Honestly, when Tony and I met on a website, we didn't even think we'd ever meet each other.
We weren't supposed to.
We weren't supposed to meet. We weren't even on the same website, which is the crazy thing. They had swapped our information.
Yeah, profiles.
Our profiles. What? So we actually joined different. Yes.
Yeah.
No, everybody's always so shocked by that, but we were on totally different websites. And we somehow crossed paths.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah. I got to see your profile. You got.
Yeah. So it was really, really strange. We still don't know exactly what happened, but he was stalking my page. And
I was an admirer.
You're an admirer. Nice defense. Defense, Tony. Nice defense.
I think the pages were affiliated. And so he was kind of looking at my page and I was, a little freaked out by it. And it wasn't really charming at first. It was alarming. Yeah. And then, and so one day I just kind of looked and kind of saw what he was about. And he just had the kindest eyes. And he did not seem intimidating at all because it said that he was a wheelchair user and he was living with his parents.
Oh, man.
So he was not a threat.
So non-threatening.
No, very non-threatening.
So,
and big, beautiful, soulful eyes.
Wow. So the eyes drew you in. The eyes drew you in on the webpage. But living with the parents did not discourage you.
Thank goodness. So he seemed super safe. And he was so much more than I ever expected because I thought I was just going to get some, person who was just going to be my friend and listen to me. And, I didn't think that I was going to be getting in a relationship. And little by little, the more we shared with each other and the closer we became friends, we were falling in love. And I still didn't know anything about the extent of his disability or what it meant. It only said wheelchair user. And from what he was saying in our correspondence, I still couldn't wrap my head around it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like he was saying it and he was explaining it to me, but I think I just needed to see it in real life.
Actually experience it.
Yeah. To understand what that meant.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Oh, no, it does. Yeah. Because I sure as heck wouldn't know. I mean, I think that's anybody. Someone told me, when I try to even say, fascicular scapular hernia, they're like, what are you saying? What word is that you're using? And what does this do to people? So you're right. It is. And it's something that I think you want to know. You want to be able to understand it. And the fact that, you weren't discouraged by those challenges or what could possibly be a challenge. You wanted to learn more about it. So really it was more writing, pen pal stuff. You really wanted to have a good connection, someone to kind of lean on, talk maybe about your day or problems or whatnot with. And that's obviously totally acceptable, but you wanted more, right? So what happened with that first face-to-face meeting?
Right. So
I'll let you take this one.
Okay. So we had that. So once our first phone conversation lasted 13 hours, and that's when we realized that we had some serious chemistry. And at that point, the details of the disability were starting to not matter because I was,
we knew we had to meet each other.
We had to meet each other. And so he's telling me that he's going to get on a train because he doesn't want to get on an airplane because they don't do well with, wheelchairs and people with disabilities, which I totally get. So he's going to take a 24-hour train ride to come see me.
Bus ride.
Or a bus ride, bus or whatever train. It was. And it just seemed so crazy. So I encouraged him to try to get on the plane say a prayer and get on the plane. And he came over to me and we met each other for the first time. And it was like magic. It was like... It was literally catching up with the person that I'm supposed to be with, not just meeting a stranger.
Hmm.
It was like, what have you been doing for the past 20 years? We were supposed to be together.
Right. And that's what it felt like from the beginning is from the very moment that we started talking with one another, it was like we had been playing catch up. We had known each other all our lives and we were just, we picked up right where we would have left off.
Yeah.
Just because conversation was had just come out of us so easily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was really special.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like it. Yeah. I mean, I wish I was like right now listening to this story, or maybe I was watching it on the Hallmark Channel or something, and I'm cuddled up around the fire with a blanket, you know, and I'm looking at my wife and I'm like, isn't this great? You know, this is nice. And it is nice. I mean, with all what goes on in the world, right, with division and hate and all this stuff and a virus.
No.
You know what? Exactly. We need to hear this. We need to hear. This is a love story, folks. And this is when it works out. This is when the good guys win. Yeah. This is great.
Yeah.
So there you go, right? You guys meet. It's magic, mm-hmm. you know, and I would say meant to be for sure. There's too many weird coincidences how you're not even supposed to have each other's profiles or accessibility to them.
Exactly.
And that happens. I'm like,
exactly.
Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and I do believe that. I think that you cross paths with certain people. And sometimes you might cross paths with them because you need each other or there's some value there that you might only need for a little while. And sometimes it's a lifelong partnership or something like that. You never know. In this case, I think it's, you know, definitely lifelong partnership style. And the fact that you described it like old friends that you knew from way back, and then you just kind of pick up the conversation right where you left off. We've all been there. And I don't know about anybody else, but I love those friendships, those relationships, because those are the ones that you don't have to stress about and you don't have to maintain or work really hard at, because you always have that to fall back on, that connection. What did you guys do on your first date?
Why don't you tell
him? So Jenna picked me up at the airport and we decided to kind of make like a little mini vacation. So she got me from the New Orleans airport and then we went to Biloxi.
We drove through a hurricane.
Yeah, we basically drove through. A guy from Indiana, and I hadn't experienced rain like this before in my life.
So I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I am so bad with like giving him the floor, but he was trying to hold my hand, and I could either hold his hand or drive in a hurricane, but I couldn't do both because he was so just, I don't know. It was like I finally met this person that I already feel like I'm in love with, and he's trying to hold my hand while I'm driving through a hurricane. So I made him keep his hand to himself so that I could get us there alive.
Right.
Yeah. We don't want this to be a tragic love story. We want this to be one that lasts a while.
Exactly.
Yep.
But obviously we survived and made it to Biloxi, and we just, you know, we spent a week, it was just like hanging out at the beach and you know, and going to like a lot of the hotels that they had around, and just kind of really experiencing, you know, what they had there. And I mean, it was gorgeous and it was so much fun and literally for me, life changing. I mean, because I had met the person I was meant to be with.
Right.
It sounds crazy that we were talking like that.
Yeah.
In that first weekend, but we were crazy, but we just kind of went with it.
We
didn't get
huge,
married for a long time.
Yeah,
it's not like we went.
We dated for like 4 years.
Oh wow!
We dated for 4 years. We dated for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the children and because of, you know, I don't know. I think we were just taking our time.
You know,
we didn't want to rush into anything.
Yeah, exactly.
There was no reason to rush into
it.
But we did know though in the very beginning. Like I knew I was going to marry him.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. So four years you date, you're very patient, obviously. Yeah, you kind of know the path and it's going as you would, I guess, feel your hearts and you knew it was going to go that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm trying to pinpoint now, like where should we, you know, put the next, you know, spot in this journey with you two. And so I think maybe it is maybe this is more of a question than for Jenny. Like where did you or when did you realize, if you did at all, like more about what this FSHD thing really was that Tony was living with, dealing with, you know, coping with? When did it ever come to a moment you're like, whoa, this is a struggle for him? Or, you know, just kind of just wrapping your head more around it than at the surface level, I guess.
Yeah. That, I would say that, like, during that first weekend together, it was really just, I was just trying to be curious about it. I was just trying to learn as much as I could. I wasn't placing a whole lot of judgment on any of it or emotion attached to any of it. I was really just trying to learn, what do you go through? What parts of your muscles are weakening? What do you need me to help you with? You know, how do we get into the car? You know, how do I get the wheelchair into the back of the car? You know, everything was just so practical, and we laughed through the whole thing. We, you know, had fun. We were lighthearted about it. Nothing heavy. You know, it wasn't like he bared his soul to me and told me, you know, how it affects his life. It was more just like we were having fun in life and just bringing it along with us, almost like a third person in the relationship, really. It's just something that had to be factored. And we rolled on for like that for a while. And then I would say one of the pivotal moments was in that first few months, my birthday came around. And I just will never forget, because I had certain expectations of how that night would go. And we had certain things planned. And it was like almost everything just kept getting sabotaged, and it was all disability related. And I could see how that broke his heart, and he could see how it disappointed me. Mm-hmm. And it was like a turning point, because he pretty much felt despair that it was always going to sabotage any happiness that we might have. And I felt that despair too, because, you know, when you love someone and you know, you just want to fix everything, you don't want them to suffer. You don't want them to feel pain. And sorry, I'm going to try not to cry.
No, I get it. I do. Yeah. You want to fix, that's, that is something I'm accused of all the time in my house, Jenny. That I'm always, damn, you're always trying to fix it. Just listen. I get told, I just want you to hear. Okay,
yeah.
Don't fix it. But in this situation, this, yeah, you're right, this is a physical thing. So I'm sure you could kind of see down the road a little bit, like,
yeah,
okay, this is a birthday thing, but then kids or travel or,
yeah,
you know,
exactly,
little,
yeah,
things,
everything,
cleaning the house, cutting the grass, it's, right, you know, the chores,
yeah,
the,
yeah,
dailies.
It starts to seep into, yeah, like all of those activities.
I think they call that catastrophic thinking.
Right.
Yeah.
Catastrophic,
you project
thinking
it into, mm-hmm, the future.
Yes.
So we've had our moments with that, and like, you know, you can battle back and forth about it. You can, you know, you can say, well, it is a reality and we do have to consider it and all these things. But the bottom line for us has been that we work better when we work together, mm-hmm, and that we actually have everything we need to face challenges.
Yeah,
we really do feel like we have that in us, because he's very sound of mind, Tony. He's very strong, and he's a problem solver. He's a comforter. Mm-hmm. He's got some great, great, great qualities that, you know, go along with some of the physical things that I can do to help out. Mentally, sometimes I'm a little bit more fragile, but he tends to be very solid in his thinking and his strategy. So I feel like when we come together, it's like this complete picture, and whatever needs to get done, gets done. Now, it's not perfect, and I'm not trying to say that it's always easy.
Right.
We do have what we need to get through.
Yeah.
Some way.
There is a learning curve to a lot of what we've been through in the past.
Yeah.
So, it's
when one of us checks out that we get in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, if I get anxiety written over it and I get overwhelmed and I just give up, that sabotages it. If he, you know, gets into that dark place,
mm-hmm,
of I have this disease and it's not getting, mm-hmm, better, then that, you know, it doesn't work. And so I have to pull him back and he has to pull me back, you know, and we have to face it together.
Right.
So, but it's so much easier said than done.
Oh, yeah.
As I'm sure you know.
Oh, yeah, it is. But I always see that, you know, when you have a partner in your life that's in it with you, you know, mm-hmm, for the duration, you know, they're not tapping out. They're right with you the whole way. I said it's almost as if my wife has it too, has FSHD too.
Mm-hmm.
I know mm-hmm, she's just as frustrated as I am. And I know she wants to jump to help, but sometimes I kind of almost look at her like, I got it. You know, you got to let me do this. You got to let me try this, because
yeah,
if I let you dive in every time, that I'm going to want you to, and then I'm not going to do it, and then I'm going to get worse. And it's, I can tell it's so hard for her to not just swoop in and go, just let me get the glass off the top shelf, Tim. You know, it's like, no, I got it, you know? And, I can only, you know, sense how difficult that must be for your relationship to adapt. Relationships in general, right, are a tough thing sometimes anyway. And then you add layers of other issues on top of it. It just adds to the stress, and it can be a dumpster fire if you don't, you know, try to work together. And I think that was a great way you guys said it too. Just work together when one needs the other. So then when did this idea, and if someone wants to claim it as I thought of the idea first, of this YouTube channel that you guys started. So tell us about that, and tell us about the channel, what it's titled, all of it.
This was you, babe.
Oh boy. Here we go.
Well, it was a joint effort, but so I already had my own YouTube channel, and so I'm very YouTube minded.
Okay.
And I'm a new YouTuber, but I was having a lot of fun with it, and it's been a real fun outlet. And so Tony had been talking about starting a blog. So do you want to kind of tell him what you were thinking about with your blog?
Sure. Yeah. So this has been something that I've been kind of going over for years now. Just to kind of get thoughts that have been mulling around, swimming around in my head out, and just, you know, put out there with kind of the goal of not only helping me just kind of work through certain issues that I've had, but in doing so, help other people as well. Just to relate to them through experiences. You know, field questions and just get feedback and everything. So that was the initial, kind of seed.
Yeah.
So he had this heart for starting this blog, and it was just not happening. He wanted to start that when I started the YouTube channel, and he just couldn't find the time to write. He had to get the whole website, you know, up and running, and it just took time.
Yeah, with school and work. And
Tony works full time and goes to online school. So he really just doesn't have a whole lot of margin for something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually I just said, Dave, why don't we make it into a channel? And that way it's quick to put together. The YouTube platform is already established. We don't have to establish a platform. We can get on there real quick and just put up some content that might be able to get your message out there, mm-hmm. help other people, encourage other people, and help you process the disease. Because it helps Tony to process, you know, what's happening to him by sharing it with others. And, you know, he was all over that idea. So you were excited from the beginning.
Yeah. We talked it through quite a bit. And that's what helped me wrap my head around, you know, just using YouTube as a platform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I wanted to, you know, have the blog.
And you might still do the blog, but
it's
kind of on the back burner. But this is a way for us to start helping people right away and getting that message out right away.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, you know, I must say, though, Tony, you know, I mean, I'm all for one that wants to write blogs. And I'm not much of a writer. I actually hate writing, and I don't mind reading, but I like to listen, right? And so that's why I also communicate with this way. And I must say, Tony, you know, you do have kind of a radio-ish like voice. So, you know, if you ever wanted to do podcasting, you know, that might be another avenue. I'm just saying. I know you could be could write beautiful words, I suppose. You know, I don't want to take you away from your gift. But there's another avenue.
I agree with you, Tim.
Yeah. Right.
Jen has told me that for years.
See? So,
wouldn't
just a possibility.
Would you stay on the phone with him for 13 hours?
What's that? Oh, yeah, when you're on the phone for 13 hours. Right, yeah. I mean, you would be the expert, Jenny. I mean, you know. You're right. And it is those golden pipes is what does it, right? And you get the voice comes off like, you know, I always say sometimes you try to let it layer like you're pouring out caramel out of a jar, right? Just nice and easy. And boom, you get them right in there in your podcast. But so what was the episode one? What was the first episode about on the channel?
That was
past the introduction.
Yeah.
Was it?
So that was how we met.
Right.
How you met.
Yeah. That was how we met. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause we had like an introduction video just to kind of, you know, put it out there that we were starting a channel and everything. But the first actual episode was on how we met.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And
just a way for people to get to know us.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You want to build that foundation, right? You want to be that first one they see that this is about you guys and this is where you are and this point in your life. And what are some of the subjects that you've covered? I know that one, I loved the title of Pity Party. That one I enjoyed.
Yeah. That one was Jen's idea. That was great. Well, I love that
good.
Video.
That one's a good one. I also liked when you talked about the pants puller upper that you invented. Tony, that was good. That was good.
I got a lot of ideas like that. But so far, you know, we've got a couple of product reviews in there, certain like how to, we got the video about the Permobil and we've got a couple of how to videos. We've got a ton of other subjects that we're planning on covering, you know, in the future.
Kind of rule one for starting a YouTube channel is, one way to do it is to write a list of 100 video ideas. And that way you feel confident about what you're going to film instead of stressing about it. So we made a list of 100 video ideas and we're just kind of working our way through them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
What's been your personal favorite, video you guys have made so far?
Oh, for me, it's probably Pity Party.
Yeah. How about you, Jenny? Same?
That was a fun one.
Yeah.
I would say the How We Met video.
Yeah.
Because I think if everybody just filmed a video like that once a month, they would be able to keep all their little feelings of love alive.
True.
You know?
True.
All the feels come back. So I think that was fun to film.
That was a really, really good first video.
Yeah.
I liked also, too. And those are good ones. No doubt. I think what I really enjoyed was like the daily routine one, you know, where you're talking about this is what we do in our day. And we kind of just, getting ready for work. And then I do this and I do this. And I'm like, you know, I'm like big on routine. When routine gets kind of nudged off, I mean, I don't go ballistically crazy. I just like, okay, so we'll adjust to a new routine. And then the new routine becomes routine. And then until something else changes in your life and then you develop a new routine, et cetera. I do it with coaching and all this stuff because it offers a place or a feeling of security. So I was watching and I felt like really, it was weird. I felt like almost secure in your lives. Like you made me feel like you were like, you guys got it. Like you got it covered. This is what we do. This is our routine, like a well-oiled machine. He's doing this, and I go do that. You really represented the teamwork, you know, of what it takes and what you guys are doing in your house. And then to me, that can translate to somebody else that is maybe first meeting their special someone, and they're trying to figure out, how do we adapt to this?
Right.
Not that they wouldn't figure it out, but I think when you see somebody else in a similar situation, you can relate. You can go, well, hey, you know, that's a good routine, or look, they can do it, we can do it, and how do they, you know, wrap their minds around it and then go forward. So I really liked it, and it made it feel, too, that you were also vulnerable to show your world like that, you know? Come on into our kitchen, you know? So it's like, that was really cool. That was really cool.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's another thing, too, that's kind of been a bit of a stretch to wrap my head around. Is finally pulling that veil back and just, you know, being open enough to say, well, you know, this is me getting from one wheelchair to another, as awkward as I think it is every time, you know, welcome. or me getting into, you know, from my wheelchair to the couch. It's all these instances where I just had to finally say, you know what, there are a lot of other people that do this too, so they're not going to be as shocked as I think they're going to be, and if anything, I think that's going to build a connection with people going through this as well, because, you know, it's my hope that they don't feel as alone as I did. You know, because it's just, you know, me doing these actions and everything. So, yeah, I just, you know, wanted to be like less awkward.
Right. Yeah. You're kind of, well, especially when you were talked about, yeah, going from wheelchair to couch, you know, I watched that as well. And, you know, using the transfer board to slide down, you know, to ease yourself from one to the other. And I only knew that piece of equipment because I used to work at a home care medical place around here for like 10 years. So I'm like, he's using a transfer board. And you know, so I kind of understood, yeah, that's how that works, but somebody might not, or, once again, if it's the partner of someone, you know, going through it and they're new to it, it's just another tool in their toolbox that they can use and educate themselves a little bit. So I get it. Yeah. I mean, but you're making yourself in that vulnerable state. You're being vulnerable in those moments to allow people to see, hey, this is a struggle. This isn't easy, but this is how I do it. What has been the feedback you've received from those that have watched the episodes? You can share some of the comments even, or some of your favorites even.
Yeah. Everybody has been really, really like awesome. I mean, like so kind, and I've had quite a few comments that, you know, get me 100%, and I get them. I was telling Jen, I mean, a couple of times where when I'm responding to these comments, it's kind of like I can almost talk in a shorthand, because what they leave, I know exactly what they're talking about in so few words. And I know that whatever I reply back with, that they're going to understand me, where if I'm trying to, like, you know, relay it to Jen or somebody, you know, or a friend. Yeah, exactly. An able-bodied person. I feel the need to get over descriptive, just because I don't think they're going to get, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. They don't live it. They, you know, I'm trying to like wrap an entire experience by using volumes of adjectives. or description. But I know that, you know, talking with people that live with this, that I don't have to try as hard.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it's like they're your people, that's your tribe, that you're passing, that y'all have similar experiences.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Even if they don't have FSHD per se, if they have another disability that makes them connect with you, I can see how you connect with them in the comments.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of let Tony, you know, Tony's like the main answerer of the comments, because that is his world and that's what he knows first. And I know it through him, but he knows it firsthand.
Yeah.
And so, and he's just been really good with engaging with people. But they're encouraging to read.
I have had so much fun responding and replying to the comments.
That's the fun part.
It is. It really is. It really is. Because you get to know the people that watch your videos, you know, on a different level. On a more, you know, like one-on-one level. And that it really is encouraging.
Yeah.
Jenny, have you heard or received any, you know, comments geared to other spouses or partners, you know, from that viewpoint? You said, you know, almost like the secondhand viewpoint.
Mm-hmm. We did have one girl reach out about, excuse me, her husband who was going through it, and he's going through a really rough patch. And so for personal kinds of things, we've been directing people to our Instagram pages, and that way we can privately communicate with them, because we do want to provide encouragement and hope on our channel, but like not everything can be dealt with on such a public forum. And I feel like just to respect people's privacy, we do answer the question, but then we'll leave our Instagram. And that's like a new thing that we're just starting to do. Tony didn't even have an Instagram. So we started one for him.
Yeah.
But we are committed to this, and we don't want to just be, you know, a video that we put up and then we're done. We're committed to contributing to this community.
Yeah,
to be
exactly.
Honest. We want to help build this community. But, you know, of all FSHers, not just YouTube.
Yeah.
But I just think that some of these things, like Tony's been able to deal with better privately, and then I can do that. So I've had like one girl reach out so far, and then I've had a few people reach out to say that even though they're not disabled, that they're inspired by her story. And that just really warmed my heart, because I think a lot of this stuff is universal to just being a human.
Yeah.
You know, we all struggle, like, no matter if people can see it or not. There's just this, you know, thing that connects us all, that we face struggles and obstacles, and we have to find that place in ourselves to get through them. And I love that we're attracting people who are disabled and who aren't disabled. I love that.
Yeah. Because they like the story.
Yeah. And I hope that continues.
So. Yeah.
How about any, is there any other interabled couples that you follow, you know, if it's YouTube or whatnot, that you have close connections with?
Yeah, so we're very, very new to the term interabled couple. We actually didn't find that out until we were putting our channel together.
Oh, okay.
So we didn't know that there was like a word for it. We just thought that, the answer to that is no.
Okay.
But now the answer is yes, because once we started forming channel content and things like that, I started looking up channels to see, you know, what kind of other videos people are doing, what seems to be working, how do you reach people? And we found some really awesome channels. So, and then the term interabled couple was coming up, and we knew that we should use that for our SEO. But we knew that we wanted to be FSHD specific.
Yep.
Because we did not find any other couples that were FSHD specific.
Right.
But we found Cole and Charisma on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Roll with Cole and Charisma is a channel that he has a spinal cord injury.
Mm.
There's also an SMA couple, I think, who has a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
But we didn't find any other FSHD specific couples, and so we're kind of trying to
make
sure
that
that's like central for us, so that we can attract those people.
Yeah.
They can find us.
Yeah. And now you guys are on the show because one of the great people that work at the FSHD Society, June Kinoshita, kind of got us connected. Can you tell us a little bit about your connection with the FSHD Society?
Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, I had actually worked with June, ironically enough, on some YouTube videos, like, like years and years ago.
Yeah.
Because I actually had, back when I was in Indiana, a production company. You know, we did like very small, you know, like we would do like commercials, mm-hmm. Internet videos,
sure,
and those kinds of things. So once I had moved down here, and I honestly forget how I put it out there to June, but some way we got connected. And I told her that I could, you know, edit some of the videos from the webinars or the seminars that they were having. Mm-hmm. And I worked on a couple of intros, because I had like a background in motion graphics. And, you know, was just able to help on that level. And then, mm-hmm. you know, started getting too busy with school and everything. But we always maintained a connection. You know, we were like Facebook friends and you know, doing the whole like thing and I want to say that that's where we got our channel started. I reached back out to her and, you know, just asked, you know, if it would be okay if she could mention, you know, the fact that this is what we're trying to do and we want to be, you know, a bigger part of like the FSHD community. And then that's, you know, kind of how she put us, you know, in touch.
Yeah.
So. Yeah,
well,
and here we are.
Yeah, here you are. Well, yeah, and you have a great following, you know, right now on YouTube, and there's a lot of people watching, and
awesome.
The fact that you're gonna get ready. I think you're gonna be a little bit kind of like mini celebrities in this world here, because you're adorable couple. You got a great story. You're not afraid to bear yourselves out there and show what the realities are, right? Good, bad, or otherwise,
right.
You offer great advice.
Exactly.
I mean, who isn't going to watch? So, it is courageous in that regard, and I don't want that to be understated. You know, you throw yourself out there on the internet and invite us into your home, you know, to see what you're doing and how things go and how you live your life.
Yeah.
And that is huge. I mean, I don't really let people into my home over here. I mean, they kind of see one little tiny corner of my little basement that I call a studio, as I use quotes, air quotes, but that's it, you know? So, you know, no one else is going to, I don't know if they're going to see the other side of the curtain. You know what I mean? So I give you guys a lot of credit for that. It's very inspiring.
Thank you.
So I hope that not only this event that we're doing tonight with you guys are the featured guests, but events to come. I'd love to have you keep coming back and talk more about your story and keep, you know, inspiring people.
A lot of fun.
This is incredible.
Last question before I let you go. And I like to ask this, you know, to a lot of our guests, because I think it's something that's, you know, needs to be asked and then hopefully shared. And that's, if someone has been, you know, recently diagnosed, or, and maybe they are a couple, you know, maybe they've been married for a while, and then it's been something that has been going on physically with one, and now a diagnosis of FSHD and what that really means. What's the advice you would give those that could be listening to this now that maybe kind of need that advice, that direction?
Yeah. I mean, I think Jen brought it up earlier, where it's just like, you know, when things get hard, you know, you have to learn to work with each other. Don't let the disability, you know, be like act as like a dividing line. Yeah.
And wouldn't you say in one of our videos about how it's not a finish line or something like that? Or it's not a, your diagnosis.
Don't let the diagnosis, oh my goodness, I forget.
It's carving on the top. But basically that it's not your finish line. It doesn't define you. It becomes a part of your life, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not your whole life.
Right.
And it's not the whole story.
Don't let the diagnosis be the end of your journey.
Yeah, exactly. It's not the end of your journey. It's just the beginning of a new journey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I feel so inappropriate answering this at all.
Oh, no. It's the two of us.
I never went through this exactly, but, yeah.
But you're going through it now.
Yeah. But I can imagine putting myself in that place and just having to rework some thoughts to be able to get to that place of acceptance, because that would be tough. That would be really tough.
Yeah.
I wasn't there for Tony's diagnosis. So it's, you know, this is how I met Tony. And so he's always been pretty much like this to me.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always had to make that work. That dynamic has always been in our relationship. Mm. I'm kind of thankful for that, because I don't think that there was ever a point where I had to be faced with it and then accept it. It was built in from the beginning. And I know you've said before that the progression of the disease has afforded you a bit of time get used to and accept things. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Because usually when you know, issues progress, it does afford me some time to adjust.
Yeah.
This isn't something that happens overnight. And I wasn't bad from, you know, from when I was born. So usually if I, you know, because recently the biggest thing that happened was that I became a full-time wheelchair user.
Mm-hmm.
I used to use like forearm crutches and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had like a really bad week, where I'd fallen like three times, and they were all pretty bad falls. And that was about, you know, that was definitely when, you know, it was just kind of like conceded to the fact that wasn't smart for me to keep pushing that envelope. And I was like, you know, I need to learn how to do life now from this wheelchair, all the time. So, you know, that was a bit to wrap my head around. So, I mean, you know, Jen and I had to come together for that and just say, okay, you know, how do we do it? You know, what are we going to need and everything?
Yeah.
But I think that's the key right there is don't, for me, I had gotten used to being such a problem solver on my own, prior to meeting Jen, that a lot of times when those things happened, that's what I would do. I would just get into problem solving mode. And there was a big part of me that wanted to protect Jen from that, or shield her from that side. But it took a big leap for me to pull her into that circle, because I mean, that's why we got into a relationship, or one of the reasons why we got in a relationship is just, you know, so I didn't have to be alone.
So that's a good piece of advice, is to let others in to help, you know, like what you would tell somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
Let them in the process and, you know, invite them in to help, because a lot of it does take a village.
Yes, indeed.
you know?
Awesome stuff. I love the advice. That was great. Nice, many nuggets of wisdom there to for people to take with them. If people want to find out more about you or get connected, I know you mentioned, you know, you mentioned there's Instagram, but take this moment now to tell us about the, you know, what is the name of the YouTube channel you have out there and ways that people can connect with you.
So yes, we are on Instagram at Jenny Teal and at Tony Teal. And then we have a YouTube channel called Jenny and Tony. And you can find us there. We've got about, what would you say, 6 videos up. We're putting up weekly videos. So each week you're going to get another video where we share some sort of either hope and encouragement or a how-to or, you know, just some kind of content that's supposed to hopefully help the community, the FSHD community, as we all try to, you know, problem solve and, you know, just get through the different challenges that it presents. So we just hope that we're providing something of value. That's our goal. And that's where you can find us on YouTube.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Thanks for joining us. And everyone, check out that channel. Thanks for spending some time with us. I know we'll talk again soon. So thanks for being here tonight. Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you, Tim.
Yeah, take care, guys. Thank you much.
All right.
All right.
Have a great night.
Thanks. Bye.
So a little bit of a, you know, I'm not lying. You're kind of like a little bit celebrity-ish, right? I mean, you're putting yourselves out there. You're helping people out. You're using the YouTube platform, which is, to me, courageous in itself. I know we have other people out there that do put on great YouTube content. I know Robert Rowe, I believe, is one of those people that is watching right now. And, you know, he is a future guest in the making, where we want to talk about his channel as well. So I know there are others out there that are willing to help people by being, you know, vulnerable, by putting that out there. And I give you all credit for doing that. It is helping the greater good. It is keeping the community connected. So special thanks to Jenny and Tony Teal for joining us tonight, telling us a little bit about their story, their love story, their connection. You know, they have 3 kids at home. There's a 15-year-old, a 12-year-old, I think now like probably about a 2-year-old, and managing all that as well as this. So a lot to juggle, a lot to work through. And if you think, if you're in a similar situation, how can I move forward? Even as a couple, how do we move forward? As a family, how do we move forward? There are resources. There are people that know and people that want to help. And sometimes even if it's just through YouTube, why not? Right? Make that connection. And they're going to respond to you. They're going to respond to your questions. They're going to not just push you away. They want to invite you in and make that connection and help you through it. And that to me is even bigger than anything else. In order to do that, they put themselves out there. So the YouTube channel is Jenny and Tony Teal. They kind of label it our Interable Journey. And, It's a phenomenal story. It really is. It really is. We're going to take a quick little break here, and we come back on the other side. We're going to close up shop, talk a little bit about some of the fun things that the Walk and Roll has raised, and touch base with that a little bit, along with some other events. So you're listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Hi, this is Tim Hollenbach, host of the FSHD Society Radio Show, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the FSHD University. FSHD University is your center for advanced education about the art and science of living with FSH muscular dystrophy. The inspiration for FSHDU emerged from the success of the Sequester Camp series, which was a weekly program launched by the FSHD Society team when the COVID-19 pandemic forced widespread social distance. We will focus on these 3 departments on FSHD University: physical health, mental health, and research. Drawing on the many resourceful, creative people in our community, who have earned their MDs and PhDs in living with FSHD. Over time, we expect to establish new departments to address additional areas where we see a thirst for knowledge. Your input and suggestions are very much welcome. This is your university, the FSHD Society University. To find out more, visit fshdsociety.org. Welcome back to the show, FSHD Society Radio Show, live here on Facebook as we are nearing the end of this week's episode. We had special guests Jenny and Tony Teal on, and you can check out their Instagram at Jenny Teal and at Tony Teal if you want to directly connect with them. But also definitely check out their YouTube channel. It is their, I'm always looking for a little tagline that they use, Our Interabled Journey. Yeah, search Jenny and Tony Teal on YouTube. And they have about 6 episodes out. They come out with an episode each week, and there's some amazing ones there. And some of their favorites they mentioned is pity parties. Maybe do the introductory episode and then jump to that one. It's fun. Anywho, thank you all, too, for being here. You can always reach out to me via email, fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. Real quick, wanted to hit a couple things before we bid farewell for this evening. And one of those things is I wanted to talk about quickly is the awesome walk and roll that we had. It was so much fun. So grateful for all the leaders, the walk and roll leaders, the chapter directors, the participants, the walkers, those that were part of the virtual event, all the people working hard at the FSHD Society office, as well as my producer Lee Reynolds and so many other people that that helped out. And it raised, I'm hoping now it's even over this amount now, $520,000. That's amazing, amazing. $55,000 was just through Facebook alone. That's incredible. Something like 6,000 reached on the live stream, and well over 17, is it 1,000 or 100 engagements with people saying like and posting and whatnot. Oh, it's just so many. 822 participants, 147 teams. It was phenomenal. So I wanted to take some time to crunch those numbers out in front of you and say thank you for doing that, and thank you for being a part of it. It was an amazing was 4 hours of broadcasting it, and it went by so fast, and I was emotionally spent when it was done in a good way. And meeting so many people, even virtually, like that has never been done for me in my life, in anything I've done. Meeting that many people in that amount of time like that, it was incredible. Literally going from coast to coast. It was awesome. It was so much fun. Other events coming up as we look forward on the calendar here for the FSHD Society. You can find all these things on fshdsociety.org, and there's the little events link right there on the top right. Just click that. You can find out more of the details, but here's some of what's going on. FSHDU, tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern, talking about the COVID-19 questionnaire and the findings from the FSHDU is what we're going to talk about. The key investigators will be there. Katie Eichinger, and Leanne Lewis are going to be part of the conversation, so join us there on the FSHDU, 1 p.m. East, 12 noon Central. Then it is the Connecticut Connections meeting, 7 p.m. That's going to be tomorrow as well. That's all virtually, so check that out. I can't believe I'm saying October, man. This is crazy. October 3rd, 11 a.m., Central Time, the FSHD family and friends in North and South Dakota, as well as parts of Minnesota, are going to meet with host Brian Domholt from Fargo, North Dakota. And guests like Mark Stone and Beth Johnston are going to be part of that. So join us. I believe that's virtual. And then on October 7th, we'll have our next radio show here on the FSHD Side Radio Show. We are going to welcome in musician Josh Bergman. He plays guitar. He even has a brace to help with his arms, which are affected by FSHD. It is a remarkable story, and I'm so excited to have him in because I love musicians. I wish I was one, I guess, maybe deep down in another life. Maybe I was. I wish I could play guitar, just never picked it up and learned. Maybe Josh will inspire me as we talk a little bit about how he keeps playing through adversity and plays anyway, along with his music. He has a Facebook group out there as well that we're going to discuss in regards to musicians and music. So hope you can join us next week for that and many episodes to come as we keep going weekly for the FSHD Society Radio Show. Thank you again to all of you listening, watching. Find all past episodes on podcast platforms. If you use Google or Spotify like I do, or Podcast Addict, we just added that to the platform. So many places you can find the shows and past episodes. Well over 40 episodes are available for your listening now. So please do that. Share, like it, comment, get us up the ladder so more people can find the show. It would be greatly appreciated. Speaking of appreciation, I cannot say enough to our special guests for joining us, Jenny and Tony Teal. Check out their YouTube channel, Jenny and Tony Teal. It is awesome. It is about their journey of being an interabled couple. So great episodes to watch there as well. So until next week, I bid you farewell and thank you again for joining us. You've been listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show.